Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be looking at the spiritual preparation behind the moving of the ark as we pick up in 1 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 1. And now here's Pastor Chuck Smith. Today's message.
David had made an aborted attempt to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, having become the king over all of Israel. When Uzzah had put forth his hand to steady the Ark, the Lord smote Uzzah, he died, and thus David left the Ark at the house of Obed-Edom. And he was afraid, it said, of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark home to me?" So we find now in chapter 15 that David made houses in the city of David. Chapter 14 tells us of the palace that was made for him through the gift of Hiram, the king of Tyre. And David made himself houses in the city of David. But he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. It would appear that David's original intent was to bring the ark of the covenant to his own house. Until he saw what happened to Uzzah, and he figured, man, I can't dwell with that thing. And so he then made a tent in Jerusalem for the Ark of the Covenant. The tent was probably modeled after the tabernacle. However, the tabernacle did exist without the Ark of the Covenant in Gibeon, and there is where the sacrifices were still being offered. And thus, the priesthood had a certain number of priests that were in Gibeon, offering the sacrifices unto the Lord, but the Ark of the Covenant was to be brought to Jerusalem. Then David said, "None ought to carry the Ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the Ark of God and to minister unto him forever." Now, it had been 3 months since the last attempt to bring the Ark of the Covenant. During this 3 months, David erected a tent for it when it arrived in Jerusalem. But he also, no doubt, began to search the scriptures to find out just how things should be done. And in searching the scriptures, he found that no one was to bear the Ark of the Covenant except the Levites. And so David is here declaring that no one ought to carry the Ark of God but the Levites. And David gathered all of Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron, the Levites, the sons of Kohath, and Uriel, who was the chief, with his 120 brethren, the sons of Merari, with 220 of the brethren of Azariah, the sons of Gershon and their brethren. And unto them, verse 12, he said, "You are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, so sanctify yourselves, both you and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. So his command unto these 600 Levites was to sanctify themselves. This was through the ritual washings and so forth, that they might be clean in order that from a ceremonial standpoint, in order that they might bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. For he declares, because you didn't do it at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. There is a right way of doing things. There is a wrong way of doing things. And the end does not justify the means. In a spiritual sense, David had a good desire to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem in order that they might create a place of worship for the people, establishing the Ark of the Covenant that the people might gather to worship God, that the priest might be there continually offering their praises unto the Lord. Good desire. He went about it the wrong way. Did not inquire of the Lord as to the methods by which it should be accomplished. And David now recognizes his failure in this. God made a breach against us because we did not follow the due order. So many times we say, well, doesn't God want us to have a large church? And the assumption is, oh, yes, God wants us to have a large church. So how then can we get a large church? Well, let's create a membership drive. Let's divide the city into blocks and let's canvass the city. Let's do this. Let's do that. And then let's have a prayer meeting and ask God to bless our plan. And we devise our methods and our means without seeking the due order. You say, well, what is the due order for church growth? In Acts, the second chapter, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's the New Testament due order for God's building his church. But we have followed the world. We have mocked the Philistines. The Philistines made a cart, put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart, let it be drawn by the cows as it came to the camp of Israel. So David copied the Philistines. It worked for them. It should work for us. But that wasn't God's order. It wasn't the due order. And so God made a breach upon them. Uzzah was slain. And so David now searches out God's way, and he follows God's methods. It's not that I just accomplish something for God. It's important in how I go about to accomplish it. Do I follow God's ways, or do I follow the ways of man? So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the Ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the Ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. Now when the Ark of the Covenant was made, there were these golden rings that were put on the corners. And through these golden rings were inserted these sticks of acacia wood that were covered by gold. They weren't to actually touch the Ark of the Covenant, and only the priest were to bear these sticks, and the Ark of the Covenant actually rode between them on these staves that were borne on the shoulders of the priest. And so David is now following this order. The priests take these staves, put them through the golden rings, they lift it together, and on their shoulders, between them, they bear the Ark of the covenant according to the commandment of the Lord given to Moses. And David spoke to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brothers to be singers with the instruments of music, psalteries, which is sort of a box-shaped type of a instrument with strings on it. And harps and cymbals, and this sounding by lifting up of the voice with joy. Quite a procession. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, and of his brethren, Asaph, and their brethren and all, and with them their brethren of the second, Zechariah, Ben, and Jaaziel, and these names that mean nothing to any of us. So the trio of singers in verse 19 was Heman, Asaph, and Ethan. And they were appointed to sound with the cymbals of brass. And these other fellows came with their psalteries on Alamoth. Now, Alamoth is the Hebrew word for virgin. And thus, in the music, they feel that it applies to the soprano singers. There is another Shemineth, which means eighth, which is an octave below the voices of the sopranos or the women singers, these others who sing the octave below that. And so with all of this music, they came with the Ark of God, and they had the priests that were there as the doorkeepers, that is to go before the Ark of the Covenant. In verse 25, David and the elders of Israel, the captains over the thousands, went to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, that they offered seven bullocks and seven rams. And of course, in the book of Samuel, it tells about the offerings that David made. They would go so far, and then they would offer more offerings. And David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, and all the Levites that bear the ark, and the singers, and the Chenaniah, the master of song with the singers. David had also upon him an ephod of linen. Thus all of Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shoutings, with the sound of the cornet, with the trumpets, with the cymbals, making a noise with the psalteries and harp. That must have been quite a procession. I like to have been sitting on the wall watching it go by. It was no doubt an exciting moment. And we do read at the time of David, they had 120 of these fellows blowing these silver trumpets. The cornets were probably ram's horns, made of ram's horns. And so the singing, the trumpets, the psalteries, and all of this music as they are prating, as it tells us, David was dancing with all of his might. And of course, David was a leader. They were all rejoicing, singing, dancing, and with the music, bringing the Ark of the Covenant on up the hill into Jerusalem from the way of Tel Aviv, actually, and probably on that same valley where the road comes from Tel Aviv today, because they were coming from the area of Obed-Edom, which is out towards Kirjath-Jearim, which is about 10 miles out of Jerusalem toward Tel Aviv. And so coming up through that valley, all of the singing, the rejoicing, the dancing, as the priests are bearing the Ark of the Covenant. Now it came to pass, as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out the window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. She did not understand spiritual things. She did not understand her husband David, his exhilaration in the spirit over this exciting event. She was upset that he had not worn his kingly robes, but was wearing a linen robe like the priest. And seeing him without the royal garments, out there dancing with the common people and mixing with them, she just thought, oh, you know, despised him in her heart. It's amazing how Satan likes to bring us down from spiritual highs. Whenever God has done a marvelous work in your life and you're just, you know, on cloud nine in a spiritual sense, watch out. Satan likes to bring you off that cloud. And scorn is one of the cruelest weapons that Satan uses. And it can just bring you right down from a spiritual high. So they brought the Ark of God and they put it in the middle of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before the Lord. The burnt sacrifices were offerings of consecration. The peace offerings were offerings of communion. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of Jehovah. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. And so a time of tremendous excitement, spiritual high, and celebration as the ark is now placed in the tent in Jerusalem. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record. Now that word record is the title of two psalms, Psalms 38 and Psalm 70. And as you read the 38th and the 70th psalm, you find that these are psalms that are rehearsing the great acts of God in the history of their people. Psalms that are remembering God's deliverance and God's work on behalf of the people. So they are psalms of historic connotations as they are rehearsing or recording or declaring really the record of what God has done. And so they were there to sing the psalms that are the records of God's work, psalms that were designed to give thanks unto God, and then psalms that lifted them into that highest capacity of man, into the worship of God, psalms of praise. So psalms that are a record of God's work, psalms that give thanks unto God, and psalms that offer worship and praise unto the Lord. Asaph was the chief musician, and they were there with their psalteries, with their harps, but Asaph was the cymbal player. And Benaniah also, and Jahaziel, the priest, with their trumpets continually before the Ark of the Covenant of God. And so the idea was that here in this tent before the Lord, there was to be offered continual songs of praise, of worship, of thanksgiving, and of memorial as they remembered the works of God. This would go on day and night, a continuous place of praise and worship, as these men were appointed to this task and would come according to their courses to fulfill the task. And on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord in the hand of Asaph, his brethren. So David gave to Asaph this psalm when they inaugurated this time of worship. Now, this is a psalm that more or less defines for the priest their duties as they were there before the Ark of the Covenant. It is a psalm that is a part of three of the psalms in the book of Psalms. Psalm 105, parts of Psalm 106, and parts, I think, of Psalm 90 are in this psalm here. Basically, it is exhortation. It is telling us what we are to do. Now, unfortunately, so many times when we read this, We read words, not thoughts, or we don't think of it as commandments. And we just read through this without putting it into practice. But each of these things are to be put into practice. They were to be put into practice daily by the priest as they were there before the Ark of the Covenant. And as we as children of God in this dispensation stand before the Lord, these are things that we should put into daily practice in our lives. First of all, giving thanks unto Jehovah. Calling upon His name, and His name is Jehovah. Or a literal translation of His name is the Becoming One. As God becomes to man, whatever man's particular need might be at that moment, for He is the all-sufficient one.
We'll return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the Praise Psalm of David. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and strengthen you and bless you and keep you in all your ways as you walk in fellowship with Him. May your life be enriched in the fullness of that mercy and grace that He has extended towards us through Jesus our Lord. God bless you and give you a beautiful week. Strengthened by the Lord, may you abound in all things in Christ, to the glory and the praise and the honor of our God, our Savior and our Lord, in Jesus' name.
Life was easy for Charles Tex Watson, but it didn't feel complete. Something or someone was missing. So Tex looked to fill his emptiness, and his search led him right into the arms of Charles Manson, forever linking him with one of the most gruesome and cold-blooded crimes in history. The Word for Today presents the DVD, The Power of Forgiveness, The Tex Watson Story. Watch and listen to Pastor Chuck as he interviews Susan LaBerge, the daughter of murdered victim Rosemary LaBianca, who was killed by Tex Watson. And when Susan came to Christ, she knew she had to forgive everyone in her life, and that included Tex. See how this dramatic story of God's mercy and forgiveness will challenge you to forgive the unforgivable. For more information on how you can order the Power of Forgiveness DVD, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.